Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Heritage Financial are not affiliated.
Welcome back to Making Money Fun. It is episode number 7. I am John Jagay, joined once again by Shanna Tincher from Heritage Financial in Phoenix. Shanna, Happy New Year.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
Excited for what's ahead in 2020, which leads us into our topic for today's podcast, which is New Year's money resolutions. Today, we're going to talk about what Shanna thinks about resolutions and something you might want to consider for 2020. So I'm going to just ask you right off the top, Shanna, tell me how you feel about New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, that's a great question. I get asked that almost every year by at least one client. And I'm not a big fan of resolutions because I think most of us come up with some type of resolution. We write it on a piece of paper and we sort of hope that it's going to come true. Do you do that, John?
Yeah. So I can think of a year where I said, I'm going to make it my goal to go to the gym 150 times in the next 365 days. And I was tracking it on my calendar. And once we got to about February, I was kind of off my pace. And then by March or April, I just threw in the towel.
Well, that's actually pretty good because most of the time, by the end of January, about 80% of New Year's resolutions have already failed.
Wow. Okay. I think about the friends that I have on Facebook that are big gym rats, and they always post, oh, January, when are these resolution people going to leave so I can have my gym back?
I know, right? And that's the absolute truth is there are two main types of resolutions that most people make. One is financial and the other one is health or fitness. Mm-hmm. And what I really want to do today is reframe the resolution conversation and talk more about goals, because I think goals that meet certain criteria are far more likely to come to fruition by the end of 2020 than just a non-specific resolution might be.
Agreed. Okay, so let's jump right in.
Absolutely. So first thing that I want to talk a little bit about is what are some of the resolutions or goals that we should consider for 2020? And then I want to talk more specifically about how we can make them realizable by the end of the year.
We want to be part of that 20% of the resolutions that actually make it.
Exactly. And it's 20% for 2020.
Well done.
So let's jump right in. The first question that I get often in conversation with clients is tracking and budgeting, which can be two different things, and forecasting. So how do I make sure that I can keep track of my money and my money goals? And then how can I forecast out for those? And there are tons of apps. I probably will do a podcast at some point about the specific money and budgeting apps that are out there in the world and how you can track. But
I use Mint, which always keeps me on track to make sure I pay my bills on time.
There you go. Mint's a good one. There's a ton of them out there. And I've even seen people be real successful with just a yellow pad and a pen. So it doesn't have to be.
My wife works in corporate finance and she spends 9 to 5 and then some every day in Microsoft Excel. So she has trained me to have everything in our house is on Microsoft Excel. I think she's actually planning a cruise for us right now and deciding which one to take and mapping it out in Excel. So we are an Excel household. So your point is well taken.
Absolutely. And that's another tool, right? So the question that I get asked a lot is, which is the best app or tool? And my answer is whichever one you will use.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter to me. It could be as simple as a yellow pad and a pen, or it could be as complicated as a bunch of pivot tables in Excel or some sort of advanced program. But really breaking it down and sticking to a plan and a strategy is really what's going to make the most sense. So there are all kinds of reviews out there. I'm just going to mention a few that you might want to look at now. Every Dollar, which is Dave Ramsey's plan, is actually a really good, simple app. So that's one you might want to take a look at. It is free unless you want to connect your bank to it. And then it's $10 a month, which I think is very reasonable.
Yeah,
that's one. Another one that has a cult like following is YNAB, which stands for You Need a Budget, which is another great tracking sort of tool. So just look at those out there. Mint has a good one. Your bank might have a good one. My clients have access to one on my financial portal. That's a basic budgeting app that they can carry with them on their phone. Mm-hmm. So really just find one that works for you and start to use it and play with it and get comfortable with it. And the more you use it, the more you plan with it, the more comfortable you'll be with it. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, to use the gym analogy again, it takes you a certain amount of time doing something before it becomes second nature and becomes a habit. And I think once you find one you're comfortable with, you use it enough days, enough times, you track enough stuff on it. Like for me, now I know every time I swipe my debit card or my credit card, hopefully more my debit card than my credit card, but I always make sure I subtract that dollar amount from what I have from my walking around money for the month. And once you get into a habit, it becomes so much easier.
It absolutely does. And some of those apps will even do that for you as you're standing at the cash register, which is a bit creepy. But for those of us that don't want to have to do the subtraction, there are some that will actually do it for you. So it's pretty cool to really find that one that works for you.
Love it.
And along those same lines, it's January. Some of us are starting to think about tax season. We need to start to get ready to file our taxes. Mm-hmm. And if you're one of those that has a W-2 or a couple of W-2s in the house, that's a fairly easy proposition. Some of you might even be able to do it yourself. But if you're like me in my household, where we have two different businesses and a bunch of things going on, we definitely want to have a tax professional on our side that can help us stay in check. So really starting that thought process today as to, do you have the right professional on your team? How are you going to get organized for taxes? And then what are all of the things that you need to collect before you meet with that professional is what you need to start doing in January to prepare for filing those taxes by April 15th.
You use the word team, and I'm glad you used that word because it really does take a team and the whole takes a village thing. And if you are working with a tax professional, whether it's a CPA or anybody else, a lot of them bill by the hour. So the more organized you can be when you walk into their office, the less hours it's going to take for them to organize things and the less it's going to cost you to get it done.
Yes, and the less likely you are to forget something that could come back years from now to bite you in the tuchus. So be careful, because you got to make sure you have all of your ducks in a row. The IRS knows everything. So if you've forgotten to include some income or something of that nature, it might not be apparent this year, but it will be in years to come. They'll track you down for it. So be aware of that.
I do love that you use the word tuchus, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. We don't have the ability to bleep out the word I really wanted to use.
Fair enough.
And then the one thing that I want to talk about next in respect to tools is automating some of your additional savings goals. So if you look at a program like Every Dollar or YNAB and you realize you have some extra money left by the end of the month, you might want to set aside some of that money for some of your shorter term goals, like fixing the car if it breaks, healthcare expenses, household projects. And that can really easily be done by automating that process. So set up a transfer into a savings account on a monthly basis from your money that's left at the end of the month for whatever it is that you think you're going to want to spend on those items, so that when a big expense comes that may or may not be planned, you can just go grab that money right out of savings and it doesn't have to be stressful for you.
My wife calls that the emergency fund. It might be something we're planning on, or it might be something that comes completely out of the blue, unexpected. So it's good to have that money for when you need it.
Exactly. And sometimes there are expenses we plan for, but we don't really know exactly how much they're going to cost, right? Like home repairs and pet expenses in our household are two big ones that we know we're going to have to do, but we don't really know how much it's going to be or when it's going to be. And so we always set money aside to make sure that if our dogs get sick, and it seems that they always tend to around the same time.
Oh, yeah.
We end up with two of them at the emergency vet within weeks of each other. It doesn't have to be stressful. We can just pull money out of that savings account, take care of them in the way they need to be taken care of, and we're off to the races. And that helps really keep the decision making in check. You don't have to worry about the money when one of your kids is sick, because that's what they are in our household, or definitely our kids.
We are the same way, and I think we may have kept the emergency vet in business in the second half of 2019 with our senior dog, so I completely understand.
Yeah, so I mean, those are things that we know that are going to exist, but we don't know when or how much. So really just setting some money aside to automate those needs when you have them. That way they don't become stressful as part of your financial life.
Okay.
And then last but certainly not least is increasing your retirement contribution. So every year, or almost every year, the government gives us a bit of a raise. And so, you know, check to make sure that what you were contributing last year into your 401ks and IRAs is enough to max you out if that's your goal for this year. So you should go back into your online portal for your employment for your 401k or talk to your financial advisor and make sure that those numbers get increased as the new year rolls around. And if that's your goal, or if you're not quite maxing those things out yet, just increase the percentage a little bit incrementally. You really won't miss the money, and it will help you get to those goals that much faster.
The more you can put away now, the more it will pay off later on. So those are things we should consider as we begin the new year here in 2020, Shanna. What about, we talked about how 80% of resolutions fail. How can we beat those odds and actually achieve our resolutions?
Yeah, exactly. It's super important that we really have some specific goals in mind when we're looking to make those New Year's goals. So let's first make it tangible, right? This may sound a little bit trite, but specific is terrific.
I like that.
Be specific about the goal that you want. And John, you mentioned earlier about your goal of going to the gym. Well, going to the gym is a good thing, but what is the outcome that you wanted as a result of going to the gym? That would have been a more powerful way to be specific on that goal.
If I could go back in time and tell myself that, that would have been quite helpful.
Right? That way at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning when you're dragging yourself out to the gym, you had that in the back of your head versus, oh, I got to go to the gym to hit this goal, right?
Exactly.
So super important to be specific and make it tangible and important to you. And then another way to really help supercharge this goal setting process is to make it obvious. And for some people, it's a phone app or a reminder on their phone that kind of reminds them to do certain things. For others, they like the calendar, like you mentioned with your going to the gym goal. They like to have a calendar or a thermometer if it's saving a specific amount of money or paying down a specific amount of debt. Or maybe a vision board if that's what you're into. Mm-hmm. If you have a planner that you use, like a paper planner, I'm a big fan of the Michael Hyatt Full Focus Planner. And so that's what I use to kind of keep my streaks and goals tracked in a way that I can see it visually. So really just find, again, that tool that works for you and track your progress. That's super important.
Stick it in that trapper keeper if you have to.
Oh, that brought me back, man. Thanks for that.
All right. So make the goal tangible, make the resolution tangible, and then make it obvious so it's right there front and center for you. What else can we do to help achieve those resolutions?
Yeah. So I think a lot of us start resolutions thinking that it probably won't come to fruition. And this may sound a little bit weird. Some call it willpower. Others call it accountability. Build something into the process that can help keep you on check when you start to want to wane with those goals. That might be a spouse. That might be a good friend. It might be an online community. Or it might be a professional, be it a fitness professional or a financial professional. Somebody that can believe in you even when you don't believe in yourself.
I like that a lot because I think sometimes it's so easy to get discouraged. And you need, you know, a friend of mine once said that having a spouse is like having your own personal cheerleader in a way. And if it's somebody, yep, you can do this. You know what? Don't get down on yourself. You got this. You got this. Whether it's a friend, a spouse, a coworker, whoever it is, that is such a good idea. Sometimes you need that little boost from the outside.
Yeah, absolutely. And in my case, in my family, my husband and I will be together 15 years this September.
Congratulations.
Thank you. One of the things I know about our relationship is that he cannot be my accountability and I can't be his because it doesn't come across as loving. It comes across in both of our instances because we're both very high A-type personalities. It comes across as very accusatory. And so we've decided for any of the goals that we set individually, unless they're business or professional goals that we're working on together, mm-hmm. that somebody outside of our relationship has to be that piece of accountability. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. So that's okay too.
Learning the marriage and where your strengths are and where you need to go for other stuff is key. I've only been married a little over 2 years myself, and I'm still learning as I go. So I you're preaching to the choir there.
Exactly. And so that's sometimes where it's super helpful to have an outside person, an outside professional be that beacon in the storm, so to speak. And so, you know, part of that building that accountability in might be hiring a financial coach or a financial advisor or financial planner like myself, mm-hmm. if those goals are financial in nature, to help the two of you move together through the process and make sure that you're both able to contribute the best side of yourselves to achieving those goals. So that would be something that I would just ask that you consider as you're setting up all of these goals and not resolutions for the new year is, do you need to have some professionals on your team? And I am more than happy to be that for you if you wanted to reach out for more information.
This is the time of the year to really get a good start with this kind of stuff, Shin. If somebody wants to reach out to you at Heritage Financial, what are the best ways to do it?
Yeah, the best way is to go to my website at heritagefinancialaz.com and click schedule a consultation. And whether you're in the Phoenix metropolitan area, Tucson, or in any other state, we can meet virtually by phone or in one of my offices, and I'd welcome that opportunity in 2020.
Shanna, great to be with you once again. Have a happy new year, and we'll speak to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.